Congressional Republicans are on the verge of passing the most sweeping overhaul of the tax code in decades. The $1.5 trillion bill would slash the corporate tax rate and give Republicans a major legislative victory in a year marked by setbacks. We're waiting on the House to pass the bill again after changes were made. President Trump is expected to sign the bill into law this afternoon at the White House. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said Republicans will rue the day they passed this bill, which is broadly unpopular among voters. Republican Senator Orrin Hatch disagreed. Here he is speaking after the Senate passed the bill overnight.
I have to say that this is a historic night. The Democrats have said that the American people will remember this night. I hope they do, because we passed one of the most important tax breaks in this country's history.
For more, we're joined by NPR congressional reporter Kelsey Snell, who is on Capitol Hill. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi there.
And the House had to vote again today because the Senate parliamentarian found three changes violated budget rules in the Senate. What exactly changed in the bill?
Sure. So the first thing that changed is they got rid of what is known as the short title. It was a kind of a technical tiny change. So that's one of them. The other one is they made changes to a provision that would have allowed families to use tax preferred savings accounts to pay for homeschooling. That was part of a broader effort by Senator Ted Cruz to expand the use of these 529 savings accounts so that it could be used for K-12 education and not just for college. But it did not fit with Senate rules for them to have that applied to homeschool as well. And there was a provision that had to do with the endowments and how for private universities and how those are taxed. So these were fairly small changes that did not do much to speak to the broader efforts of the bill. They were easily struck as part of what's known as a budget point of order, which is really just a wonky way of saying they sliced them out of the bill and moved ahead anyway.
So just some small tinkering around the edges here.
Right.
But this is, as you say, a huge bill with sweeping revisions to the tax code. Give us the broad outlines of what we're about to get in this country when it comes to taxes.
Sure. So the bill was unveiled on Friday last week, and it was a lot of things that we already knew. So they set the corporate tax rate at 21%, and that would be a permanent change. They lowered the top individual rate from 39.6% to 37% and cut tax rates across the board for most people. I think another thing that most people who are filing taxes will like to know is that their standard deduction, the thing that most people take right off the top, would nearly double to $12,000 for individuals and $24,000 for married couples. That means most people won't need to itemize, but those people who do would have access to a $10,000 cap on what's known as state and local taxes, so SALT. And they would also see the changes to the mortgage interest deduction. Any new mortgages written after the first of this year would be, their interest deduction would be capped for those over $750,000.
And there are concerns about what that might mean for the housing market. But
right.
One of the things the Republicans have been promising is that this is going to simplify the tax code, maybe that Americans could do their taxes on a postcard. That's not going to happen here.
So it's not likely that the postcard seems to have kind of slipped away from the conversation. They're saying filing on one page. That's actually kind of what some people do already with what's known as a 1040 EZ form. They are saying that it will be simpler for most people who use the standard deduction, but it's hard to make things both simple and evenly divided. So in the Senate in particular, they paid attention to having more tax rates so that they made sure that the tax burden was evenly divided across income brackets.
Now, this is a tax bill, but it's also kind of a health care bill because it gets rid of the individual mandate set up under the Affordable Care Act, which penalized people for not buying health insurance. Many people believe that Obamacare won't be able to survive without the individual mandate. What happens now that they've gotten rid of it?
Yeah, so what they did is they got rid of the penalty under the individual mandate. It's entirely possible that if Democrats were in control of the White House and in control in Congress, they could bring that back. But what it does is it means that a lot of people won't buy insurance. So the idea is that people, if they don't have to, if they aren't going to be penalized for not buying insurance, they just won't do it. And that changes the risk pools. And there's an estimate that 13 million people would lose insurance as a result of this change. A lot of that has to do with prices going up. Because if the risk pools are more difficult, if there are sicker people in the risk pools, costs go up. But there will also be a number of people who will just simply choose not to get insurance.
Kelsey, one of the big fears about this tax bill is how much it adds to the national debt, more than $1 trillion. And there is fear that Republicans will now decide to pursue changes to Medicare and other social programs. Is that likely?
Well, House Speaker Paul Ryan has said that he would like to embark on what he's calling poverty reform, which is looking at those entitlement programs that cost the government quite a good deal of money. In fact, most of the federal budget. But it would be politically difficult to do that. And it's not clear that he will have the buy-in from the Senate to do those changes next year.
That's Kelsey Snell, NPR's congressional reporter. Kelsey, thanks.
Thank you so much.